Welcome to Side Hustle City, and thanks for joining us. Our goal is to help you connect to real people who found success turning their side hustle into a main hustle, and we hope you can too. I'm Adam Kaler. I'm joined by Kyle Stevie, my co-host. Let's get started. All right. Welcome back, everybody, to the Side Hustle City podcast. Today, we've got our special guest, Spencer Howard. How you doing, Spencer?
Doing well, Adam. Thanks for having me.
Well, before the show, we realized you're a Kentucky guy, so you get points, and we're talking about credit card points. You're ahead of the game.
Points.
That's right. That's right. So you've got perspective being from Kentucky, and now here you are working in luxury travel. So how did you get involved in the points game, in the travel credit card points game?
Yeah, for sure. I some of it's just dumb luck, like many things I feel like in my life. But it's I was working in politics for about a decade. My last political job, we were actually encouraged to take our days off, which is unusual in politics. And at that point, I was like, I just got to find flights to go somewhere. Let me find the cheapest thing, and stumbled upon a website talking about airline miles. And I was like, well, I don't travel a lot. But then they mentioned something about credit cards. I was like, well, I have a credit card. And I mean, this was like the beginning of going down the rabbit hole. And I think I ended up spending like 4 hours a night for like 6 months, like reading credit card rules, terms and conditions, airline rules for booking with points, and not the normal path and not necessarily the path I would recommend for everybody. But I got obsessed. So that's how we started.
Yeah. But you were working before you really got into this. Is this like a full time thing for you now?
This is full time now. Yeah.
Wow. So you've created your own job, essentially.
Yeah. I mean, I freelanced writing for some large websites that talk about credit card points and airline miles, hotel points. Did that for several years. And then at the beginning of 2021, decided to take what was my hobby straight to the points, which is just a free newsletter, and make it my full-time job. Yeah. I mean, nothing like starting a travel business when people aren't traveling because of a global pandemic.
Oh, or whatever. Yeah.
So it was a bit of a move, but it's working out. I think people kind of understood we were going to be traveling soon. And yeah, just been going since then.
Well, things picked up. I mean, I think right now people are a little hesitant to spend money, and I could tell because, you know, I do my little Turo business. I bought a car and I put it on Turo mainly to just let people on the podcast know if it was worth the money or not. And a couple years ago, it was great. You know, there was pandemic money going around and people were spending it, and they were like, yeah, let me go buy, you know, rent a nice car. I'm thinking about buying one of these. Let me rent it out on Turo. And I'll drop it off to the airport in Cincinnati. That's actually in Kentucky, and drop it off to people. And it's a great business. I mean, I'm renting this thing $200 a day, you know, and you know, and I maybe it's because it's a winter right now. I don't know, but I'm just guessing by the way my Turo business is going that people are kind of cutting back on travel right now. Are you feeling that too right now, or what do you think?
I think towards the end of a year, I typically see people slow down. Mostly I think because they're buying like Christmas presents and whatnot. And then January people start going, oh, I should plan travel for this year. And I see like a quick like burst. And then it starts to kind of balance out. And usually I end up hearing from people in like late May where they're like, I want to go somewhere this summer. And I'm like, you are very late to the party. But it's, I get it. Not everybody's thinking about travel all the time like I am.
Yeah. Well, I mean, this is your full-time thing, which is amazing that, I mean, you're kind of doing what everybody wants to do. Like I went and spoke to some kids at my high school yesterday, and I go, you know, I'm telling them, hey, don't trade your time for money, right? Don't be an indentured servant is what I told them, just to shock value. Right. And own assets and do all this stuff. Right. And they all want to be influencers. I think every kid nowadays wants to be a YouTube influencer, a TikTok influencer, or one of these things. You're kind of living the dream, because I think when you break that down, it's not necessarily about being an influencer or whatever. It's about writing your own ticket, essentially being your own boss, doing your own thing in an industry that you love.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I'm still obsessed the same as I was in 2015 when I discovered this was a possibility. And I love it. It's still hard work. I probably work too many hours, but I do love it. So it's hard to stop sometimes. And I think there's a lot of new opportunities these days with the way the internet has evolved for good or bad. I know there's, you know, lots of downsides, but there's a lot of upsides, and the ability to kind of do what you want is, I think, a lot easier than it used to be. Mm. I think the permission structure is a bit different. It's not as, I don't know, you're not required to wait in line as much. You can kind of get into something, do the research, put in the work, put it out there for the world and kind of see if it connects. And I think that's great. And that's kind of what I did. I always say I'm kind of an anti-viral creator. I don't create things that are exciting. I'm more of an educational person. I like to kind of dig in and, you know, get into the weeds on things and make sure people kind of know how they can go travel, rather than just kind of shock them with something amazing that I did.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I'm, you know, my wife, she's big time into travel. She loves it, especially Disney stuff. She wants me to move to Golden Oak so that she can, I don't know if you know, you probably know Golden Oak because you're in it.
I'm not a Disney person.
Well, yeah. If you got $4.5 million for a starter home, you can move to Golden Oak. But it's $4.5 million. Yeah, this is what she wants. She's like, this is what you need to get for me. And I'm like, oh, yeah, okay. What do they start at? And she's showing me the $10 million ones, right? So, but essentially,
do it right.
Do it right, right? But you're on Disney campus, right? You spend some ungodly amount of money for, you know, association dues and all that stuff. But you get like a pass to Disney, you get all this stuff. And that's the kind of life she wants to live. So she's just like enthralled with Disney, with Universal, with, you know, amusement parks in general. She wants to just have fun all the time, you know, and I think it's a lot of people have a dream when they're going on a vacation. And, you know, once that dream is over a week or a week and a half later, or however long you're on your trip, now you're hit with the bill, right? The bill comes due, or hopefully you've been saving, but people need, they're always looking for a way to get an edge, right? When they're traveling, how do I get an edge? How do I save a little bit of money? You know, you got kids and stuff. It just gets that much more expensive. So who do you normally deal with? Are you dealing with people that are, this is their strategy? It's like, I just need to save an extra couple $100.
It varies. I think a lot of my audience is into flying business and first class internationally. And those ticket prices are, I mean, my favorite example is if you want to fly like round trip to Japan, it could be like $22,000. If you want to fly first class, business can be, you know, 15, 10,000, whatever. I mean, it's pricey. Going to Europe, it can be anywhere from like on a good day, is $1,800 for a round trip ticket. And on a more normal day, we can be up in the fours and the fives. So, and then you look at like peak periods and it gets even higher. So for me, it's just a matter of like, how can I kind of help people get the experience that they wouldn't normally have, give them a taste of something different. Like, I think so many people work so hard and then it's just, they think about travel and it's like, oh, I got to like fly to get there. And it's just like a drag because they're going to sit in economy. Nothing wrong with sitting in economy. If that's like how you want to use your points, go forth. I'm 6'3". I like space. I don't fit in small spaces. And so I've just been trying to help people kind of enhance their travel just a bit and make it a little bit nicer.
Well, let me tell you a story. I was flying to Dubai from Cincinnati with my friend Ajay, and he worked at Macy's at the time. And he was doing a lot of business travel. I own my own business, so I didn't do a lot of business travel. He had points, all kinds of points. Yeah. And he goes, Adam, come to Dubai with me. He's like, I've got so many points. He's like, I got the hotel. You don't even have to pay for that. Just pay for your ticket. I think it was like $1,300. So we were both traveling economy. You know, he had pity on me at the time. And he's like, oh, yeah, we'll just get economy. So we're sitting there for a minute. Next thing you know, he gets upgraded. I got to watch him the rest of the time on this flight through the little curtain, drinking cocktails, leaning back. But he's like you. He's like probably 6'2", 6'3", but he's a bigger guy. So, you know, I didn't get too mad at him. But here I am on a 16-hour whatever in the world flight I was on, tied up in this thing. But when you're flying like that, being in first class is a game changer.
Yeah, it's a distinction that nobody thinks about, but business and first class are different internationally. Business class to me is like, that's I think that should be the goal for most people. Get a lie flat seat and just some space. First class is like, you basically want to fly private, but that's just a bridge too far.
Yeah.
I mean, but it does truly change. Like I always look at it as like, I don't want to be miserable thinking about getting somewhere, and I don't want to be miserable getting to the airport and getting on the plane. I just want the whole journey to be kind of enjoyable. Whether that means you just want to go to sleep as soon as you get on the plane, whether it means you want some nicer food, whether that means you want a glass of champagne, whatever that is, like just a better experience. So like, I don't know, it feels like a true vacation then. Like you're starting off nice, you're feeling good, rather than like, now I have to recover for 6 days because I was sitting in the back on a 15-hour flight.
Oh my God. And travel can totally be like that, right? And then you get there and, you know, you're finally, you drag your bags through the lobby, you get your ticket, you go up an elevator, you walk a little further just to get to your room, and you finally get to drop your stuff off. You're ready to go to sleep. I mean, it's not why should your travel be that painful and stressful when you're trying to relax?
Yeah. And with credit card points, there's a lot of opportunities to be able to book these business and first class flights, especially business class, even for families. I mean, one of my newsletter readers booked a family of eight in business class to Europe. They're not like work travelers, they're not on the road all the time. It's just through strategic earning of credit card points. Those are the big wins that I like to see. But you know, and again, like I do like to emphasize that just taking the trip can be special enough. I've flown in economy. It's fine. Like if that's the opportunity you have, like go for it. Like if points are going to get you an economy seat or maybe a bunch of economy seats or a bunch of economy trips, like go for it. It's just, to me, it's just figuring out how you or what you care about with travel and putting your points to use to get that.
Yeah. And now tell people the strategy. Like, I think a lot of people, I understand it because I've kind of looked into it. You know, it looks like you've been featured on the Points Guy. He's a very popular person to follow. I mean, you've been on Forbes, Travel and Leisure, Business Insider, Washington Post. I mean, the list goes on and on here, but explain to people the industry. Like this just became a thing. Maybe, I don't know, 10 years ago or something like that. People really started to make this a thing, but it's become a big deal, and credit card companies are competing with each other on, you know, different kinds of programs that they do because it's just cutthroat. It's cutthroat industry.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I love competition. So I'm happy for them to compete for our business and find ways to reward us for using their products. And so for me, it's basically, several banks have transferable points programs where you can transfer those points into other airlines and hotels. And they're all trying to kind of get the best partners and have the best airline partnerships. And they run promos for transfers. I mean, they've got what, different bonus categories for credit cards. Each bank is like really pushing to kind of incentivize you to come bank with them. And ideally, they want you to do all your banking with them. But it's I mean, the industry's wild. I think it's changed since I've been in it, since 2016, but it's, there's more and more people from different backgrounds kind of sharing their experiences traveling and showing how they do things. And it's, I don't know, it's a lot of fun to watch. And it's just kind of fun to see even more people kind of taking advantage of these opportunities that I think often go overlooked. Not even overlooked. They just don't even know they exist. A lot of it's just, you got to put it in front of somebody to go, oh, hey, you can do this. And the first time you're like, wait, what? That's a thing. I think most people are like, I don't travel. I'm not a road warrior. I'm not going to earn any points. And I'm like, that's the 90s. This is the 2020s. Oh. Like, you earn points with credit cards. Like, that's where it happens. And that's where the opportunity is. Don't get me wrong. Road warriors can still earn plenty of hotel points and airline miles, but it's not exclusive to them anymore.
Right. Well, there's a guy also on YouTube, Graham Stephan, and you might know him. He's a finance influencer. He's a realtor in California. And, you know, he's like saves every dime. He drinks his coffee black. He makes it at home. He never goes to Starbucks. He's a big points guy, but that's not his main thing. He's just mostly talking about real estate, and he's bringing people on like Mr. Wonderful. And, you know, he's at that level now, but the guy's still drinking his coffee black at his house. Yeah. And, you know, maybe throws a little milk in it every once in a while, but, you know, he's a big saver. And hey, I'll invest my money instead of wasting it and giving it to Starbucks. I'll put it into something else. Well, people like him, people like me, I'm also a cheapskate. I wouldn't say a cheapskate. I'm very, very frugal, and I don't like to buy things unless they make me money, right? So if I can buy things and earn benefits somehow from buying those things that I have to buy no matter what. I have multiple businesses. Yep. You know, some people also do blue collar guys, you know, they've got to buy tools. I've got to buy computer software. I've got to buy a lot of things, right? I got to buy those anyway. Why not figure out a way to stack programs or stack points to benefit from that, right?
Absolutely. It's I think most people go into it thinking, oh, I shouldn't have credit cards. Credit cards mean debt. And I get that. And if you struggle with kind of controlling the spending and not spending because you have a credit limit, don't get into the game. It's a game. It's a hobby. It's not like this is not this is a nice to have, not a need to have. I don't want anybody going into debt because they were chasing points. That's silly. It's just not worth it. But if you treat your credit card like a debit card, and this was a big mindset shift for me when I first got into it, because I thought that way. I was like, I don't need the extra credit just to spend for no reason. But once I realized I could just treat the credit card like a debit card, that was a big kicker for me, where it's like, oh, I'll just pay it off every month, just like I immediately am paying off the debit card. So that to me is where the benefit is. Like, you still want to only be spending on what you need. You just want to get something out of it instead of nothing.
Exactly. You're spending this money anyway. Yeah.
Yeah. Debit card, cash, whatever. I'm like, okay, you don't get anything. And then you tell me that if I go to this restaurant and I get 3 or 4X points and I can use those points later for a trip to Europe, great, let's do that. If I've got business expenses for an event or whatever, I mean, I have friends who run digital ads for a living and they earn so many points.
Oh, I need to start doing that. Yeah.
I would call it printing points. It is insane, because there's two credit cards that offer, or there's one or two credit cards earn like 3-4X on all your digital ad spend, and you're just like, oh, okay, that's an easy way to do. I mean, some of these guys are spending $100,000 a month.
They pay you send them a bill, they pay it off at the end of the month, and boom. Yeah. So I own an ad agency, so I get it. I've got somebody in California that does most of my ad spend for me, but I can almost guarantee he's doing this strategy.
I was going to say, he's earning all the points.
Oh, he's earning all the points. I didn't bring that in house. Here's what you're telling me. Sorry, Mike.
Don't tell him I sent you. He's going to be so upset with me.
Oh yeah. But that's the thing. Like, and you don't even know. And a lot of your clients are people like that, or they're, you know, wealthier individuals, they're business people, and they're, you know, they've got a company card or something, right? But the average individual, the average person can still kind of do this. And I would consider this a side hustle, because you're getting free stuff.
Yeah. I always tell people it's not free. It's just heavily reduced.
Yeah.
Heavily reduced.
Well, you got to buy something. But yeah.
Yeah. And
maybe a free hotel night, or maybe you get a hotel, or you get a discount on a flight, or you get whatever. But it's money you would have been spending.
Yeah. And to me, I think there's a lot of different approaches, I think. And it depends where you are in your, I'll say, financial life. When I first got into points, I was working in politics when they didn't really pay you a lot. And so for me, it was like, I want to cover costs so that I can actually go on the trip. And coming, you know, as you make a little bit more money, it's like, okay, I want to cover flight costs or hotel costs so that I can go to a really nice meal at this really great restaurant, or do whatever experience. Some people are into adventure sports and they want to pay for whatever, something. I mean, some people want to go like drive dune buggies in the desert in the Middle East. Like, it's going to cost some money. Okay. Mm-hmm. But if you've used points to cover your flights or possibly your hotels, or at least part of your hotels, like, now all of a sudden those become more affordable because you haven't used the money you would have on the flights. So I think it's great. I think, like I say, it's enhancing your travel. It can be simply just to save money, but it can also be to just get you more experiences that you want. I have readers who use points for flights only, and then they go pay for luxury hotels because they didn't pay for the flights. I'm like, that's great. I have other people that are just like, I'm going to use points for both flights and hotels, and then I'm going to spend money on some Michelin star meal just to like try it. And I'm like, hey, what? I mean, if you're good a foodie, go for it. There's like, why not? And that's how I look at it. There's just, it's kind of a, it's almost like a, kind of create your own adventure or choose your own adventure game. And it's just a matter of prioritizing for yourself what you want to get out of it.
So my wife, she's okay with not spending crazy money on hotels, right? But me,
she does need that $4 million house.
Yeah, I know. It's like, yeah. And it's mostly because it's by Disney. Like, and yeah, we'll have to figure that one out. I don't know if that's going to happen. But she says, don't say it won't happen because the universe is not going to be happy with you. So that's her thing. She manifests, right? So, but when the last time I went somewhere without her, I ended up at a hotel next to a truck stop in every room, and I was in a non-smoking room, and it still smelled like smoking, right? So when I'm on my own, I'm like, I look on the map and I'm like, the cheapest one. I don't care where I stay. I grew up in the hood. Like, I'll stay in a $20 hotel. I don't care. Right. And that is not her style. Right. She is not into that at all. So she called me up. She's like, where'd you end up staying? And I tell her about it. I was like, I messed up. She's like, see what happens when you don't travel with me. But you know, doing something like what you're talking about, I would be, as somebody who's this cheap, if I could find a way to stay in a nice hotel, because I'm always like, who the hell's spending this money? Like, who's out here spending? I look at these prices and I'm like, $700 a night for a hotel? Who the hell spends $700 a night? It's these people.
I think you should try it. I think you should try it once. And then have some conversations with them and see what they're up to. Great networking opportunity for you.
We'll get that is the thing. Yes.
It's a business expense.
That's true. It is a business expense. So yeah, but who are the folks that want to spend $1,000? Like, who's the guy at the Burj Khalifa or the, what is it? The one out, who's that guy? Burj Al Arab. Like, I was in Dubai. I was like, who's spending $5,000 a night to be in these hotels? Do you know these people? Do you interact with these folks?
Are you tired of feeling lost in the world of trading and investing? Get informed and inspired with the Talking Trading podcast. I'm Louise Bedford, and I'll help you navigate the markets like a pro. Tune in each week and subscribe now at talkingtrading.com.au or on your favorite podcast app, or check out the link in the show notes. Talking Trading, this is how traders excel.
Maybe not $5,000 a night usually, but I mean, I do hotel bookings as well, like luxury hotel bookings for clients.
Nice.
As a travel advisor, because I have access to some programs that add additional perks. Still looking for the value is what I like to say. Just to get you a little bit more of a special experience. But I mean, it's a lot of different types of people. Sometimes it's just a small business owner. Sometimes it's an executive, somebody who just works hard in the, it's not really 9 to 5 these days, but you know, 9 to 9 or whatever it is. And they want to go and unplug, and they want to go just relax and not have to worry about things. No, things are taken care of. I mean, I recently stayed at a Four Seasons property in London, and I mean, it's a part of it was for meetings, but just seeing how they operate, like, it is on a different level.
Oh, that's research. That's what you were doing.
And I mean, truly, and it was very informative, but just seeing how the entire staff operated, and you can see like why people will stay there. Cause they're like, I can just unplug. They will take care of things. They will take care of me. I can just enjoy my time. Or, I mean, even if you're traveling for work, like, you just don't have to think about it. And I kind of started to see how that plays into things. Cause I'm definitely the person who is not like, I'm going to go stay to Four Seasons. I joke that I'm a Hyatt Regency guy, because I work on the road. So I like, if it has a club lounge, that's great. Cause I just go have breakfast and work and get out of my room. But I understand, and I really enjoy seeing how luxury properties operate. I think it's the political background and working on previously working on campaigns. I just like to see people execute and just do it really well. Political friend.
Well,
and I
also
talk about this,
you're
regularly
in DC.
We just love to see it.
These people spend crazy money on stuff. I mean, these politicians are out of control. You're like, dude, what is going on?
I would say
on?
I see more money spent in New York. those hotels. There's some really expensive hotels there. But yeah, I mean, it's a variety of people, and sometimes unexpected. Sometimes it's a retiree who just like saved a ton of money, and now they're like, I'm gonna enjoy it. Other people who are just small business owners. Some people own big businesses. I think the experience is what they're going for, which I think is an important thing to remember. I think sometimes when you don't come from just being able to throw money around like it's nothing, you start to feel like you can never spend money on something nice. It just feels off, I guess. But just kind of remind, sometimes I like to remind people, you know, it's okay to want a nice experience. And if points is how you get there, great. If cash is how you get there, as long as it's in your budget, I'm cool with it. And I'm happy to see you go have fun.
Well, and I'm kind of, you can get institutionalized if you are not a person who enjoys life. You can get used to not having nice things, right? And I think for me, once I got out of where I'm from and I started to be around other people, you go and you go into their houses and you're like, man, people live like this. Like, this is unbelievable. Like, I grew up in a one bedroom with four people, you know, and now I'm in this house and they like half of it's empty, but it's a gigantic house. I got a big yard. You start like looking at other stuff and say, man, I want stuff. Then when you travel and you go to a place like Dubai and you see the extravagance and you know, you're eating food with gold on it and you're like, wow, I want to be this is I want this all the time. It can motivate you, right? Like,
you
it
mean
can
you, get you, you didn't grow up with gold leaf over your coffee?
No, I could, ramen noodles with hot sauce on them, right? Like, yeah, that's what you got. That's what you get. But you know, it can kind of motivate you to want nice things and to maybe even kick you in the pants a little bit and make you want to work a little harder so you can, you know, provide for your family or, you know, say, look, I grew up like this, but, you know, I want my kids to have nicer stuff and, you know, understand how the other side lives. But what you're saying is you don't have to be rich. You can be a regular guy, regular lady, and still every once in a while splurge, but use this strategy in order to be able to do that.
Yeah. And I think it all comes down to prioritization. I think a lot of people, the one that gets me is I see people spend God knows how much money going out to restaurants and they spend a ton of money on concerts. And I mean, like, cool, those are your things you love to do, but then they flip around and say, oh, I can't spend money on travel. Oh, I can't do that. And I'm like, well, no, you just spend it somewhere else. Like, if you, I mean, I know people who spend $4,000 a month on like going out to eat. To me, I'm like, I just don't care enough about food. Going to,
I just need to survive.
And that's, don't get me wrong, I love good food, but it's just like, that's not my priority. And so I'll prioritize being able to like go on a trip somewhere. And to them, I'm always just saying, I'm like, why don't you just spend half of that for like 2 months? And like, pretty much no matter what, you can fly business class with just cash to Europe. And it's just forget it. Yeah. Don't even worry about the points at that point. It is always priorities. And I think if you want a really nice experience and you have points for it, that's great. If you're just like, I just want a seat on the plane to get me there so I can do X, Y, and Z, that's also great. It's just a matter of figuring out what you want, what your goals are, and honestly, ignoring the noise, because there's always people are going to tell you that like, oh no, the best way to do it is this way. And I'm like, no, that's just your way. that's okay.
Yeah. But what they need is they need to know what's available to them. And we talked a little bit about this, like where I'm from, where you're from. It's, you know, there's not a lot of understanding of what's available to you if you're in a certain community, right? You don't have a network. You don't have access to ideas or what's available, like what jobs are out there or any of that kind of stuff. Well, it's the same in this industry. Like, I don't know what credit cards are out there, right? I don't know how I could take advantage of these strategies, right? And, you know, there's the points guy, and you kind of have a different spin on things a little bit. But people can go to your website, obviously, straighttothepoints.co. But they need somebody kind of looking out for them. People are busy all day. They don't have time to do the kind of in-depth research that you do. They don't do this full time, but there's so much information on your website and in your newsletter and access to these things. It consolidates everything into one place.
Yeah.
So talk absolutely a little bit about the resources that you do have.
Yeah. So for people just getting started, I have a beginner's guide. It's the foundational pieces of information. I played baseball for a long time. And so I look at like pitching. There's five main steps to the pitching motion. And when you're first starting out, all of them feel very confusing and you count them out and it's just very stilted. And by the time you've done it for, you know, 10 years, you're just like, I don't know, you just throw the ball, like just do it. It's fluid. And I think that's the same concept when you're trying to learn how to do anything. So I try to put this beginner's guide together just to kind of give you those foundational pieces. It'll feel weird at first. And then once you've done that, everything you learn after that goes back to the original and you're just reapplying the same kind of methods to learning a new aspect. So It can definitely be a lot, but you don't have to be insane about it. It just depends how deep into it you want to go. For those who already have points and are just trying to figure out how to use them and use them better, I have my award alerts newsletter where I send out award space and business and first class on international routes and break down the different ways you can use your points and the best ways and why you'd want to do one versus another. So my older brother says I idiot proof the process.
If your brother says that, then yeah, you must be doing something right.
I wrote him instructions on how to book a flight once when we were going to see our younger brother in Japan. And this I was like a precursor to me writing this newsletter. I was like, oh, there's something to this. Just lay it out. And those are the two main things. And hopefully it helps people kind of go from A to Z.
Yeah. Well, my favorite thing is Delta points. Like they changed the way that I used to get tons of points for flying. Now it's like all my flights are like economy flights to Orlando and stuff. So you get nothing for them now. Right. And you got to pay more money or something. I don't know what in the world their deal is, but they definitely screwed me up. So, but I'll use Lyft because Lyft will give you points. When I get pizza, I go to Donato's Pizza because I've got some kind of thing hooked up with my credit card where it'll send me that. And there's several ways that I can get points by doing other things that tie into, I think it was dining rewards. Delta has a dining rewards thing or something, but it ties into my Delta Sky Miles. So, I'm doing that kind of stuff, but I try to funnel everything into Delta Sky Miles. Is that like a strategy that you see people using or that you recommend to people? Say like, hey, find your favorite points program and then funnel kind of everything into that.
To an extent, I would say don't have a favorite points program, be agnostic. The loyalty programs are like, they play on emotion. That's great. That's marketing. That's how they do it. But I'm like, I don't care which program it is. To me, it's just like, which is going to get me the goal. And so if I want to fly to Europe and I know that these airlines have lots of flights and I know these are the points I can use, I'm concerned about these points. I'm not concerned about some other potential option that maybe I like them more. I'm like, that doesn't matter if I like them. This is about the goal. I'm going to suggest to you that maybe you try branching out from Sky Miles because in my, I would say, educated opinion, they're one of the worst on the planet when it comes to redeeming points.
They've been messing me up. Yeah, they've been ruining gotten worse.
I get questions sometimes like, oh, do you do brand deals with airlines? I'm like, well, not Delta, at least. I've said too many things. I say that as someone whose father flew 2.8 million miles on Delta for work travel. Whoa. So I'm familiar. This is not me just talking.
Your dad might as well just got his pilot's license at that point. Oh, just man, go ahead and fly your own plane.
Yeah, for sure.
Wow. But
yeah, I think part of it is learning about different programs offer different benefits. And then when you can earn points with credit cards, you can transfer to lots of different airlines. And so you start to think about like, I can book the same flight. So like, let's do a quick example, like Swiss flies to Zurich from a bunch of airports in the US. You could book with United Miles. I think most Americans would think about United because it's an American carrier, but you could also use Air Canada's Aeroplane program, or you could use Avianca Life Miles. And it's like, it's all booking the same flight. You're just using a different program that also partners with Swiss. They're all Star Alliance. It's like, it feels very confusing at the beginning, but it all starts to kind of make sense. It's like a little puzzle. But each program has their own award rates. So you're just looking for like, which one's going to charge me fewer points so that I can transfer points from my bank, fewer than I would have to or otherwise have to. So it's again, like it's a bit like putting together a puzzle. It just takes a little thought.
Well, I'm a big Chase guy. My wife likes the American Express stuff, and she's got that. What is it? It's like the purple American Express Delta card. And like another one. It's like the problem I have with all these credit cards, and maybe you can demystify this for people, but they'll have like three or four points cards. And I've got like the Chase stuff, right? One of them will get you certain things. The other one will get you other things. And then this one will get you this thing. So you got to have like two or three of them to get all the things that you actually want and then remember to use them.
Yeah, I know people put stickers on their cards where it just says like grocery or dining or whatever. I mean, it's whatever it takes. But yeah, to me, I always tell people there's kind of three main approaches to credit cards if you want to travel. And there's the keep it simple, stupid. It's just like you get 1 to 3 cards. They have bonus categories that fit your spend patterns. Then you never think about credit cards again. Mm. Works really well for businesses with a high spend. In the middle is more of kind of a hub and supplement, where it's like you build a truly a hub of like 4 to 5 credit cards, again, focused on bonus categories. And then you pick up a new card for a sign up bonus here and there based on whatever your travel needs are. And then if you just like want to go way too far, you can do the kind of maximalist approach, which is just focus on earning sign up bonuses repeatedly. And so it's I mean, at its basics, or most basic, it's just the simplest to the most complex, but also the fewest points to the most points. Mm. So it just depends what kind of bandwidth you have, how much you want to invest into a hobby, just time wise. I don't know. I always put it like, I know people who play golf and some show up on the weekend, have a few beers and hit the ball. And then others go to the driving range because they want to be good on the weekend when they go out with their buddies. And like, one of you is going to be a lot better.
Yeah,
that's okay. And like the people who don't put in that time and effort, they just have to know that like, they're not going to be the best one out there.
Set your expectations. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Just kind of know what you're getting into.
And do you ever cancel cards? Or you just kind of let them like, all the benefits expire, do you cancel them and then hope they send you another offer or something, or how's that work?
So I always tell people I give every card a fair shake that I get, every card I get, I give it a fair shake for like a year. And if it's got to earn its keep, it's harsh, but it's just, if the card's going to provide more benefits than I'm going to have to pay in the annual fee, I will consider keeping it. Sometimes I still won't keep it because I don't think it provides enough based on the annual fee. I'm unusual in that I travel a lot more than most people, so it's easier for me to leverage a lot of benefits. But otherwise, I think it's like, I always say you get kind of your keepers, the ones that you're going to stick with in the wallet. And if a new card comes out, or maybe a card's earning structure changes a bit and it fits you better, well, then you just replace it. It's cutthroat. I don't know what to tell you. It's like, yeah. I don't have any emotional attachment to some bank's credit card.
No.
It's like, that's just what it is. So,
I mean, they're banks. They don't care about us either. So,
yeah, I mean, yeah,
they care about our money.
We are a drop in the bucket, or if not ocean. So fine. Hey, that's fine. I'm just utilizing the programs they've set up. And yeah, it's just a matter of kind of putting together the wallet that fits your life.
I need BlackRock to come up with a card since they own everything. Yeah. Like they'd have a great rewards program. It'd be like every S&P 500 company would participate. So, top three cards right now, like at this moment, if somebody was like, man, I want to take advantage of this. What do you think the top, if I could say, sign up for three cards, they're going to balance out with each other and they got great programs right now. Which ones do you think, and I know I'm putting you on the spot, but which ones say would be good ones to have in your wallet?
As my friends will tell you, I have the urge to ask lots of follow-up questions to get an insight into like where they're spending money. But broadly speaking, I think for those who want to travel and are going to be out quite a bit, like I think the Capital One Venture X is an easy one for people because it just earns 2x points on any of your day-to-day spending. It's just easy. Basically, the goal to me is never earn 1x on a purchase, and that just makes it easy. And so you also have lounge access with that for a lot of airports, so that helps. So if you're traveling a lot, that can be really useful. And I think, you know, it's the best bang for your buck if you want perks like that, as well as like trip delay insurance in case your flight gets delayed and it'll cover a hotel for you, stuff like that. Oh, so I think that's there's a lot of fun benefits that most people don't ever even scratch.
So don't buy the travel insurance on the website. Use a card that has the travel insurance.
Yeah. I mean, truly. And a lot of people are like, oh, I'll never use it. And then I tell them, I'm like, well, I'd used it 4 times in 4 months because you just never know.
Wow.
I think that's an easy one for people. I think those who are going to kind of dig in a bit more, I always tell people to start with like Chase Ultimate Rewards cards. So like the Chase Sapphire Preferred or the Chase Sapphire Reserve, which you can then pair with like a Chase Freedom Flex or Chase Freedom Unlimited. If you have a business, you can pair it with any of the three Ink cards, the Ink Preferred, Ink Cash, and Ink Unlimited, and they all can pool their points together. So business owners have a huge advantage at this.
I've got the Reserve options. So I've got that one. And it definitely racks up some points there.
Yeah. And I always tell people, if you want to kind of dig deep into points, Chase is really where you want to start, because they do have some rules about whether or not they'll approve you, and they're just more strict. So, that gets in the weeds. I cover it in the beginner's guide if anybody wants to understand why, but it's, but that's can be a good one for people who are kind of trying to push a little bit more. But I think you have a lot of options, honestly. There's Amex cards that are membership rewards points, same concept as Chase Ultimate Rewards, same concept as Capital One's miles. They just transfer to a bunch of partners.
Oh, that's the key, is being able to move the stuff around.
And that's the fun part. I mean, you can use the points within their kind of internal travel portals, but the value is generally a lot higher when you're transferring to airlines. It's not the sexy part. I think people love when they earn a lot of points. Like, that's exciting. They see their balance go up, and I'm like, that's the first step.
Yeah.
Like, rubber meets the road on the trip. Like, you don't just earn these just to have them. It's not an investment. This is not like your stock portfolio. These will not, no. the value is not going up. Airlines will devalue the programs. Earn them, use them. Like, this is.
Well, and you got a nice filter program, on the credit card part, like the best credit cards, one you're recommending here. And there's a lot of cards, but if I want hotels, I can filter by hotels, airlines, rent. There's that Bilt card. And so I've seen
really
that.
Cool. And I get, like, full disclosure, I serve on like an advisory board for them, but they are a fascinating program because they are rewarding people who rent, and there hasn't been a lot for renters.
No, it's been the opposite of that.
So as someone who has rented his entire life, it was really exciting when they launched this. But it's a loyalty program for renters, but they also offer a credit card. You can join with or without the card. And they're doing some really creative things and interesting things in the space. But just be honestly, like, if you live in a big city and you spend too much money on rent the way I do in DC, it's a
move back to Lexington. You'll have to rent, probably.
That. Yeah. Oh, I love looking at cost of living comparisons just to make myself hurt. I'm like, I'm sorry, did you say that rent 70% cheaper? No.
I do that too, but I look at the cost of living calculator for different countries.
You can do that too.
Buenos Aires, right? Like, I'm looking at that, and I've got a little hack too, the blue rate, right? You send money via Western Union down there and you get twice what the bank will give you, right? Or you go on the street and get even more, but then you get counterfeit money. But and it's so cheap. It's like crazy. See? I'm like, the food on the street is like, looks delicious, and it's like 50 cents. And it's like, man, I could just work remote and just do whatever.
I thought about that.
Live like a king. Oh, you 100% should do it.
My wife has a job here, so we're going to stick to this for now. But I'm telling you, I got to say, I just remember being in Romania with my buddy Tim.
Awesome.
And we're like walking around Bucharest, and I was like, this is a cool neighborhood. I wonder how much it costs to live here. And I'm like looking at luxury apartment, and I'm like, absolutely not. I can't look at this anymore. This is too depressing. Like,
we did that in Budapest.
Same thing.
Anywhere in Eastern Europe, it's ridiculous. In Montenegro, beautiful, right?
Yep.
And you're looking at it and you're like, this is great. Or South America, name a country in South America, Uruguay, right? Montevideo. And it's like, you're on the water. You're in a major city in a country that's got its stuff together. It's just stupid cheap.
It's wild.
Oh my goodness. We're spoiled in America.
You can do the same thing in Thailand, and you see these places and you're like, oh, luxury apartment, $800 a month, less. It's like, okay, never mind.
My wife and I we were in Phuket. We walked out of our resort. We go onto this little street, and all there is restaurants and massage parlors, right? And we go into the first massage parlor. We look at the prices and we're like, we got to be adding this up wrong, right? Well, we get there, and at the end, $4 for both of us to get an hour massage. I'm like, Melissa, you know how cheap it would be for us to live here? Like, we could live like kings. But she owns a spa. Same thing, your wife, she has a physical place she has to be every day. So that's the downside. So tell me, Spencer, like, what would be the best way for people to get started with you, with your program, to get involved in starting this kind of side hustle, working credit cards for points and everything? Would it be your newsletter?
Yeah, I would say if you're new to kind of credit card points. And even if you think you know a lot, it's not a bad idea to get a refresher. I think the beginner's guide on the site is a great place to start. If you have points and you're looking to travel internationally in business or first class, the newsletter is the way to go. I'm also very active on Instagram. My handle is @straighttothepoints. And I do a lot of, put up a lot of content, answer a lot of questions on there. So that's a great way to kind of stay current.
I love it, man. This has been great. Well, it's good to speak to a Kentucky guy. We get people from all over the world. Yeah, and it's like, man, Lexington guy, you're an hour and 15 minutes away from where I'm at. So actually, I'm already across the river. It's probably an hour. So yeah, man, this has been awesome. And congratulations on, you know, being able to start a business doing something you love. I mean, this is, it's outstanding. Is there anything we didn't talk about that you want to tell people?
I think we covered it. I think the only thing I would say is just, it can feel like a lot at the beginning because it's a whole new thing. Just take it slow. Everybody will have felt what you feel as you try to like get a handle on all these, like all this new information. And don't be shy about asking questions. We've all asked them.
Oh yeah. I'll be asking a lot of questions. Well, cool, man. Well, I'm gonna sign up for the newsletter. I'm going to take a look at your website a little more in depth, and you're a wealth of knowledge, and I appreciate you being on here with us.
Yeah. Thanks so much for having me, Adam. Appreciate it.
All right. Have a good one. Thanks for joining us on this week's episode of Side Hustle City. Well, you've heard from our guests. Now let's hear from you. Join our community on Facebook, Side Hustle City. It's a group where people share ideas, share their inspirational stories, and motivate each other to be successful and turn their side hustle into their main hustle. We'll see you there, and we'll see you next week on the show. Thank you.